So let us begin with a public comment. Thank you to members of the public that are here with us as we call us into session for our first meeting of the new year. Happy New Year and welcome. What members of the public would like to share a word?
Happy New Year. I'm Sarah Talley-Farrow with the Justice Matters Affordable Housing Steering Committee and Working Group. And I'm pleased to be here to witness the first meeting of the Affordable Housing Advisory Board in what promises to be a very exciting year. I wanted to share a few reflections from our working group as you begin the new year. First, you had several conversations last year about the composition of the board and adding new members. Three representative stakeholder groups have been identified: the Lawrence Chamber of Commerce, the Lawrence Board of Realtors, and the University of Kansas. And over half a year has passed since the vote to add those three positions. With a citywide revamping of city advisory board composition and governance, Vice Mayor Boley will be stepping down, and his position will be filled by someone representing the city, if I'm understanding that correctly. There has also been some discussion of adding additional positions to AHAB. One of the primary benefits of adding more positions beyond those already identified would be to ensure a quorum of votes during the application process and any other process in which some members would need to recuse themselves. We can see the wisdom to simply adding the three identified positions and finding a worthy replacement for Vice Mayor Boley. We can also see some arguments for adding additional appointments. Here are the thoughts and considerations we feel are critical to that discussion. First, of foremost importance is choosing new AHAB members who will make decisions and fund projects that create new housing stock or increase the housing stock available to people earning 0 to 60% of the area median income, with initial priority given to people earning 0 to 30% of the area median income, since it has been studied and proven to be the portion of the population consistently not served on the open market. Second, group dynamics are important and will change with each new member and each increase in overall board numbers. Adding several new positions at once not only changes the dynamics and efficiency of the meeting process, but it likely requires some care in recrafting the process itself to assure the integrity of decision making. Maybe I need a new prescription, I'm sorry. All care should be taken that no majority coalition form, nor that any one voice should wield undue influence over other board members. And I think that's some of the thought behind revamping boards in general. One, a careful review of consensus and voting processes would be in order. This would be an ideal time to implement a well-defined and agreed-upon community decision-making process or a consensus-based process. Second, a review of who recuses themselves and when might be in order. The current board members are very conscientious, and yet it might not be necessary for someone to recuse themselves from voting on applications if they are not an employee or board member for one of the applicant agencies. Third, a review and written policy is needed that clarifies the conditions for who advocates and how for any particular application, the procedure for who is in the room and where they sit during the discussion and the subsequent votes. There is a little bit of confusion each time on this, and maybe it just needs some simple guidelines prior to adding new voting members. So as AHAB and the City of Lawrence, switching gears to a new point entirely, as AHAB and the City of Lawrence looks forward to 2019 and the beginning of funding through the sales tax increment, now would be an ideal time to develop a more thorough and quantified scoring system for application review. AHAB could then take the four applications received in December and use them as test applications to evaluate the effectiveness of the tool. Other communities with affordable housing trust funds have good evaluation tools in place also to do this, and they could be used as models. Again, In light of larger annual budget for the Affordable Housing Trust Fund beginning in April 2019, some kind of verification of qualifications and experience handling such projects, the qualifications and experience of the applicants, as defined in future applications, as well as an annual review of progress and compliance of the projects would be useful to have in place. The city's revised annual review process for those receiving tax abatements might be a source of some of the parameters. And of course, again, looking at model cities with affordable housing trust funds would be informative. Thank you for the time to address this board. We, like you, look forward to seeing this trust fund have profound and positive change for our city and all members of our community. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Are there others that would share? All right. Again, thank you all for being here. Our second agenda item at the first meeting of the year is to elect the chair and vice chair. And so I guess the way to do that is I'll open up the floor to nominations.
Nobody make eye contact.
I would. I don't want to take over and not allow other folks the opportunity, but I am more than willing to continue. Are there other nominations? Yeah. Okay. Well then, all in favor of me continuing as chair, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Any abstentions? I should probably abstain from that. Now vice chair. Are there any nominations for vice chair?
Yes, certainly. I think he missed one meeting in 2 years or something.
Okay. All right. So any other nominations? Okay. All in favor of Shannon continuing as vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Any abstentions?
I abstain.
Okay. All right, then let's continue with item number three, to approve the minutes from the last meeting of last year. So take just a second to look at those, and then I'll hear a motion to approve. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, so now we're into the monthly financial report. Let us know where we stand.
Mr. Chair, the only change since last month is $2 in interest.
Okay.
You see, that is all.
Making money now.
That's right.
Was that cooking with gas?
Okay.
So there was no debt proceeds funding that went into the Affordable Housing Trust Fund in 2017?
I believe that is the amount that shows, well, that's a good question, Vice Mayor. I see that the $300,000 was projected. I'll make sure that hits the year end, and it should be reflected in there. I know that this has not been audited yet, and I imagine that those transfers will be yet to occur, but that's a good question. And I do know that we will need to revise the budget for this next year related to expenditure of funds. It's just in order to expend the money from the 2017 year and the 2018 mm-hmm. year
okay.
related to the recommendations for funding.
Okay. Okay. And that's something that this board will need to recommend then to be approved by the commission?
We'll probably just take it directly to the commission.
Okay.
It's just
all right.
That's to let you all know that that will be happening and that's the reason why.
Okay. Sounds good. Any other questions or thoughts about the financial report? Okay, in front of you, you have a list of the stakeholders to include in our focus groups. And so, now you want to say a word about kind of the process and where our study group is on that. Yes, are there copies for the folks who value the
issues? It's
okay, so you have an agenda out there with tasks.
Yeah, they should have that. I'm gonna put it on the screen too.
Okay.
So we have been having some additional discussions with the consultant, and one of the items is the item that's on your agenda here today. They were wanting to get an identification of the stakeholders, I think, as she had shared with you at the last meeting. And as I understand it, this is a list of stakeholders that you had identified, and then staff had kind of brainstormed some additional parts to the list, which is there's kind of a break in the list in your packet there that you can see, and those were some additional ones that we thought would be good to add, but wanted to make sure that there weren't any others that we are neglecting to notice, so wanted to bring it to you all to see if you had any additions for that. We'd like to share that with Heidi and her staff so that when they are coming here, they can make sure to set up the appropriate meetings and visit with the right stakeholders.
Okay, great. All right, so take a look at that list and then see what other names you would add to it.
One community partner that's pretty involved is ECAN that I don't see on here.
What about HCCI? Is that Housing Credit Counseling?
I mean, they do, well, you mm-hmm. work with them too a lot. They do a lot of first-time home buyers, so they'll be mm-hmm. budgeting.
I was also thinking of DECA, because what we've learned on the county side is anytime we're talking about the issues around mental health and all those things, the drug use side of that is always there too, so DECA does have some housing issues, housing concerns for their the folks that they have in residential treatment that then move on to transitional housing and permanent housing. And is there any, I may have just missed it in the presentations, but how the folks who actually use Section 8 housing or have housing needs, is there a way to have a stakeholder group of people who are experiencing housing crisis or
yes,
in the system?
I think there's a couple things there, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there's a survey of residents that we've talked with Heidi about that would be a scientific survey. In order to make it scientific, it needs to be random and that kind of thing. But then there would be, to make sure that there are targeted groups, some outreach again through these stakeholders to kind of find out how to get information from the people that utilize the services. So I know that Heidi would be particularly interested, for example, in talking some additional with Shannon on clients and that kind of thing, and how to reach out, what might be the best way to do that. And I think she was planning on having those discussions when she talks with the different stakeholders about that. Did I get that right?
On that angle, an interesting, I mean, I don't know if there's time or desire on this, but in terms of the equity angle, I know Helen Schnoes, when she put the food system plan together, mm-hmm. had that equity effort and actually used folks who were Fusion Security or had were part of the actual experience of that, train them up to then be the ones who would go out in the community and get the, you know, kind of get the buy-in from those folks rather mm-hmm. than agencies coming in. So
mm-hmm.
Helen might have some insight on how that
okay.
could be done process-wise if the city wants to, it took a little bit of money to pay people to become leaders. It was, well, it's gotten a lot of attention and acclaim both at the state and the national level, that particular process.
Okay.
So.
The agencies that are sponsoring agencies for families receiving the transitional housing vouchers still have to maintain contact with them for 2 years. So many of those are on here. I think we've got 22 families on our list right now. So that information could come through that way as well.
Any other new names that aren't on this list?
Those are three good suggestions.
Yeah. I think we all probably need to clarify a little bit. A couple of these, we have a slot for major employers. Do we want to be more specific than that? Giving them, you know, a couple, three names?
We're going to generate a list kind of the top, say, 5 to 10 major
okay.
employers. Some of them are, of course, KU is one of our major employers on there, but to the extent that they don't duplicate on the list, for example. But I know that in visiting with a number of employers during retention visits that we go on, that there's a lot of interest from them in housing issues, and they hear a lot of that from
yep.
from their employees.
Absolutely. Okay, so that'll just be basically just kind of look at the list and per capita or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Same question on the University of Kansas. I mean, is there more specific we need to give them in terms of which department, which area, you know, where's the best place to start? Because I think if you talk to somebody in student housing, that would be a different conversation than somebody that's dealing with more with kind of town to town relationship.
There actually is a non-traditional student housing department.
Okay.
Which are, you know, people who have kids or whatever
right.
going back.
Right.
So that may be a better, I mean, I agree, student housing, we don't.
Yeah.
That's a different deal.
Yeah.
What we've done at this point is we've made some outreach contact to Haskell through the president's office,
okay.
and then through the executive vice chancellor to get their ideas on how best to engage with the universities on this, both I think in terms of outreach to students as it relates to the surveys and their input, but also, you know, from an institutional standpoint
mm-hmm.
as well. So
I would imagine there's also a workforce housing issue because
mm-hmm.
it's not just the staff, the academics, the staff.
That's true. It's kind
of
really
one
of
the larger employers, I imagine,
sure.
in towns.
That's true. So there it may be a couple people that they
sure.
sort of point Heidi to in that.
What other names would we add to the list? Does this cover it? Definitely gives them a long list to talk to.
Yes.
Should be comprehensive.
I think so. All right, excellent.
Great, thank you.
Thank you all for putting that together. And I was going to see if it was, I didn't see it later on the board. Anything else in terms of where they are in the process that we need to hear?
They are working on a timeline, and so there'll be a couple things that'll be coming forward. They're not quite ready yet. She is working on a timeline for us that kind of has more of a definitive time frame of all these different things, when the survey is going to happen, when she, you know, kind of the general timeline of the focus groups and that kind of work, and through the to the end of the study. And then the other thing that we've been visiting with her about, that I think we mentioned last time, is a discussion of expanding the scope a bit to include some recommendations and perhaps even in the format of a workshop with this group at the very end. That would be how do we take the data and the information and really develop a framework for the Housing Trust Fund. And as we've talked with her about that, she kind of envisioned that as several hours of meeting with this group. And I think that it may serve well for what I understand that you've done in the past with goal setting, maybe serve as that kind of session, but it would be toward the end and really kind of provide that wrap up. And she's working on drafting an addition to the scope for us to provide back to the city commission.
Well, yeah, I think that's helpful. Sarah mentioned a few minutes ago about using kind of national models for its scoring process and what that process looks like for us. Mm-hmm. And so that would be one of the voices I think we'd want to hear from, is they've heard a lot of different trust funds around the country and what works well and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. So that'd be good.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, well, let's continue with a few more quick updates. The first one there is the new ordinance to add additional board members.
These first two items I might group together, the ordinance to add the additional board members and the recommendations on the Housing Trust Fund awards, both the 17 awards and then the ones that were recently recommended for the 18 funds, will both be planning to go on the January 16th City Commission agenda. So very soon around the corner with that.
And I might add, you'll note in your future meeting dates that next month this board reviews some amended bylaws. That's going to be the reason we've planned it that way, is because the ordinance adding board members should be adopted first, and then we'll incorporate that into the bylaws, and we'll revise the bylaws per some of the city commission's efforts on the advisory boards and aligning, sort of incorporating a number of things that make them all more consistent and streamlined, and so you'll see that next month. And then you can debate about how long Matt gets to be chair.
And I guess the only thing I will add is I think it's important for some of us to be there at the meeting on the 16th.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
This is just creating the positions on the board. It's not appointing
correct
people to it, correct? Yeah,
okay. Right.
And remind us what that process will be. That will be mayoral appointment, or that will be...
Yes, the mayor makes those appointments with okay. the advice and consent of the commission.
Okay.
That's a consent agenda item.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then also the bylaws, once they are approved by you, then they are submitted to the city commission for approval.
Okay. So who can be there on the 16th to show a representative? I have a meeting at 7, so unless it's going to be done before that.
I'm in.
You're in? Okay.
I can be there.
Okay.
I think I can.
All right. Anybody that can be there, I think that'd be helpful.
Will you all notify Bert Nash?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So those both will be on the docket on the 16th. Anything else? Let us know about either A or B.
I don't think I have anything more on those.
Okay. And then on C, to reduce the cost of housing.
That we're working on placing on the commission agenda in February.
Yeah, early February. That's going to take the form of a consent item where the commission accepts the summary direction from AHAB and then direct staff to move forward. There's no action items that day, but it's putting us to task on any number of those issues that might evolve into future building code issues or different programs that we'll work with the development community on. So,
any other thoughts about that?
Scott, when's that going to the commission?
To February 6th, maybe the first date. I think it's the first regular meeting of February.
All right. Any other new business? I know we're on a record pace, aren't we? I would ask a question about new business, just kind of what our timeline for annual report might be. I know that comes up due in March-ish, is that right? And so we probably need to start kind of picking through that a little bit. Will that be due? Well, we have to do all that in February meeting, or is that a end of March due date? We have March's meeting too.
We'll look at that.
We'll file for March 1st.
Yeah, March 1st. Okay.
You're right. It's coming up.
So we may make up for our shortening today.
We'll try to put a draft together for that.
All right. Of course, that is February 12th meeting. We'll include a conversation about the new bylaws as well as annual report. Any other new business that needs to be on that date? All right. Well, then, in under half an hour, I would hear a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.